Everything in the financial markets this morning is downstream of one question. What does the Federal Reserve do on Wednesday? S&P futures are at 7,522, up about 1%, and the bid tone is being driven by two things that happened to coincide over the weekend. The U.S.-Iran strike pause eased one of the major geopolitical risk premiums that had been suppressing equities, and Bitcoin's rise on improved risk appetite is being read as a sentiment-leading indicator. When crypto moves first and equities follow, it tells you the underlying driver is risk appetite rather than fundamentals. The Fed's decision matters because the market is trying to reconcile strong labor market data with early signs of demand softening in durable goods orders and the persistent consumer confidence drag from the Iran conflict and energy price volatility. A hold with dovish forward guidance would be constructive for equities. A hold with hawkish language, particularly anything citing the inflationary impact of the oil disruption, would reverse today's rally quickly.
Bitcoin mining's pivot to AI data centers is a structural story that's been developing for 18 months, but is now accelerating. Mining difficulty is down 20% from peak. That's a function of Bitcoin's price trajectory and the competitive dynamics of the mining industry. And major mining firms are finding that the same power infrastructure they built for hash computation can be repurposed for AI inference with substantially higher revenue per megawatt. The economics are stark. A megawatt of power running AI inference for cloud customers generates roughly 3 to 4 times the revenue of the same megawatt running Bitcoin miners at current prices. The transition isn't surprising. It's mathematically obvious.
The Intel story is a case study in why accounting matters as much as revenue when evaluating corporate health. Trump highlighted the government's Intel stake, gaining $70 billion in value over 8 months, and Intel did post its fastest revenue growth in 15 years. But the $12.5 billion non-cash charge related to CHIPS Act accounting produced an $11 billion GAAP loss. Journalists and politicians, choosing which number to highlight, revenue growth or net loss, are making editorial choices that produce completely different narratives about whether the federal semiconductor investment strategy is working. Here's where the antitrust context becomes relevant. Intel's position in the semiconductor market is worth unpacking because market share alone doesn't tell the full legal story. The Sherman Antitrust Act, passed in 1890, prohibits contracts, combinations, or conspiracies in restraint of trade, and separately prohibits monopolization or attempts to monopolize. The key legal distinction is that having a large market share isn't itself illegal. What's illegal is using monopoly power to exclude competition or harm consumers. Intel's historical antitrust exposure, including a 2009 FTC complaint about exclusionary rebate practices, illustrates this. It wasn't Intel's size that was the problem. It was specific conduct designed to make it harder for AMD to compete by paying PC manufacturers to not carry AMD chips. The government's current investment stake in Intel raises interesting questions about what that ownership relationship means for future enforcement decisions.
The United Delta merger approach story from the WSJ is one of those almost-happened business stories that tells you something about where the airline industry thinks consolidation needs to go. United CEO Scott Kirby called Delta's Ed Bastian to pitch the deal. Talks ended before advancing. The U.S. airline industry has already consolidated from more than a dozen major carriers in 2000 to 4 dominant players today. A United-Delta combination would control roughly 60% of domestic capacity by available seat mile. The regulatory environment under this administration has been mixed on consolidation, aggressive in some areas, permissive in others. But a deal of that scale would face serious antitrust scrutiny, regardless of who's in the White House.
Brazil's President Lula, writing an op-ed in the Washington Post calling U.S. tariffs a strategic mistake, is significant because of the diplomatic channel he chose. A foreign head of state going directly to American readers through the U.S. press rather than through diplomatic back channels is a public pressure strategy. It's designed to mobilize American business interests and consumers who are affected by the tariff costs. Lula's specific warning that the 25% duties are shifting Brazilian trade flows toward China is the argument that carries the most weight in this administration's terms. Tariffs intended to limit Chinese economic reach may be accelerating it.